What up, y'all? It's another episode of the Global Citizen Podcast. Chilling here, live from the 202. Before I get started with my podcast and introducing my guests, I just want to give a shout out to everybody that is essentially on the front lines, the essential workers during the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. My prayers and thoughts go out to all of y'all. I have family, friends who are on the front lines, whether you are a doctor or a nurse or working with public transit, taxis, working at a supermarket. Your work and your efforts are greatly appreciated, but please remain safe. With that said, today on the show is a guest that I've been trying to have for a while, since the beginning of the Global Citizen Podcast. My boy Rudy. Rudy and I go back, way back, like as long as I remember being alive, I remember Rudy being in my life. So, you know, that goes from like matching Halloween costumes to getting into fights, playing street hockey in his neighborhood. I think we both smoked weed together for the first time. Earmuffs from our mother's mom, Maud Magalie earmuffs. Yo, welcome to the show, Rudy.
Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate this.
Real quick about you. Professionally, Rudy is a teacher. You teach the 7th grade in the Bronx?
Nah, 6th grade.
6th grade in the BX. And you're an English teacher or general studies, everything, a little bit of...
I mean, my license is English, but I teach social studies as well. So I teach humanities, which is a combination of both ELA and history. So a combination of both subjects.
Got you. And you've been doing that for a while now. You've been a teacher for...
Yeah, 10 years now.
10 years.
Well, I would have been finishing my 10th year if this didn't happen. But
right.
10 years overall. So,
10 years. So big shout out to you, because I know a lot of people are missing teachers in their kids' lives because they have to tame them, and they are giving you guys much respect, the respect that you've always had. My mother was a teacher, so I've heard stories of her saying really wild stuff about some of her students. But thank you. Today, I thought we should just catch up on a little bit of everything. We kind of chat every day about what we've been up to. So how are you dealing with the Rona, man? How's it been for you kind of just being home in Brooklyn?
To be honest, I don't really hate being quarantined. I mean, I get to catch up on things that I haven't been able to do, such as my movies, my TV shows, my readings, my games, uh-huh. And even just talking to family, catching up with people I haven't talked to in a while.
Right.
So it hasn't been too bad. I mean, I miss going to the gym, going for my runs, and like just, you know, socializing on weekends. But overall, I got used to it pretty quick. How have you been holding up?
I've been all right, man. Kind of the same with you. You know, I'm okay. I'm at the crib a lot. I miss going outside freely. I do go outside. I go for walks here and there. I got my bike back in action. But I miss, you know, going to the gym. This gym was kind of a way for me to kind of really escape for like an hour and a half and just do my thing. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of FaceTime, Zoom calls with friends from all facets of life, reconnecting with people, which I really appreciate. I think it's been nice to see people who really, you know, you're cool with or care about. We're all kind of checking in on each other. Mm-hmm. So it's been that. What show are you watching right now? What do you say your top three shows?
My top three shows I've been watching?
Yeah.
Curb Your Enthusiasm is always number one on my list.
Okay.
No, Insecure is back, so I'm definitely glad that that's on HBO again. Yeah.
Fuck Molly. And fuck Molly. You whack Molly.
Team Lawrence all day, baby.
Team Lawrence, baby.
And All American on Netflix.
Okay. You told me about All American. No, I haven't. I've heard some good things about that.
It's corny because it's like a CW drama. But
okay.
I can relate to it because it's about a black kid. Not saying I'm from the hood, but like a black kid going to an all-white school and trying to adjust.
Yeah.
Definitely connected that.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah.
How about you? What's your top three shows?
Right now, I've been watching Westworld. Mm-hmm. I started that. It's pretty good. I also Insecure, just throwing it in there. But since it just started, I don't know. I watch I'm a big Marvel fan. So in being a Marvel fan outside of like the end games, there's a lot of Marvel trash, and some of the shows I watch are quite Marvel trashy. I just finished Iron Fist, season one of Iron Fist, and it's so bad, man. Rosario Dawson, she's so fine. So I watch it a lot for her, but I'm watching my Marvel shows according to the MCU timeline. So I feel like I have to push through just to kind of get through this Marvel journey. And then I've been watching this pretty depressing documentary on HBO about Atlanta's missing children.
Oh, yeah, I've been watching that too.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. The reason why I'm into it, though, is because I was watching this show on Netflix called Mindhunter, where they kind of were talking about like the FBI's when they founded the FBI's division into finding serial killers. And the last season kind of focused a bit on this. So that's what kind of got my interest. But I'm also trying to not watch too much TV, but yeah. But yeah, man, I mean, what about routine? Like, what would you say your routine is? You wake up, what you do? Well, I mean, 'cause you're not really working right now.
I mean, I still have a job. I still have to report before 8:30 in the morning. So, I mean, I'm glad I have a job, because if I didn't have one, who knows like what my life would be. I mean, I'll probably be in front of the PlayStation. Yeah. But usually I wake up in the morning, walk the dog, and then
Lulu. Shout out to Lulu.
Lulu all day. And then I go to work, check in. Usually have a meeting in the morning. Then from like 8:30 to like 3:30, I'm like talking to kids, parents, checking their assignments, just making sure they're on task. Then I do my workout at home. And then like usually around like 7 o'clock is when I get to wind down, watch my TV shows, play my games. So I'm kind of glad that I still have work to go to, because if I didn't have that, I would probably be just unstructured. And I need that structure in my life.
Absolutely. I feel you on the structure. I haven't worked out today, but usually, I mean, I'm gonna have to do a double tomorrow, but usually that kind of grounds me a lot, even if it's for like 30 minutes, but you know, work helps a lot. I definitely make sure that I wake up and like shower.
That's part of it too.
Yeah, it's part of it. But I find that I'm more productive when I actually wear actual clothes versus like lounge gear, even though I've spent some money on some lounge gear, which we'll get into later as well. Definitely routine is huge during this kind of time. I think a lot of people who are struggling are kind of just flailing all over the place and don't have that structure. But maybe if I was in my younger years, if I was in my 20s, that might be the case. But how do you feel like New Yorkers are coping? Well, we know like statistics wise and news wise, things are really bad in New York. But like when you go out for whatever, if you're going out for some fresh air, going to the supermarket, or just going for a walk, what do you see in terms of like social distancing and people adhering to that?
To be honest, man, I live in Brooklyn on Flatbush. So yeah, I feel like people are not watching the news at all. Like they're just dapping up each other. I see them sharing a blunt.
A blunt. Wow.
I don't see any social distancing on my block, to be honest with you. Even in the park, like you get the Rastafarians, they're just hanging out together as if there's no virus or pandemic going on. Even like the hipsters are like coming into your personal space at the market and stuff. So I feel like in New York, they're just not really respecting the social distancing rules.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, I see like the older people are not outside, which is good.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think if I was to be outer borough or maybe Manhattan, it would be different. But like from where I am, it's not as busy as it usually is, but it's still like some people don't give a fuck about the rules.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of everywhere. And I think sometimes New Yorkers tend to treat things like this like a snow day.
Yeah.
Like or like a hurricane. It's always lit. It's really lit around those times. But it's crazy to hear that people aren't really at least trying. I think in DC people are trying. People who piss me off in DC though are the runners. Look, I get you, you know, you're trying to sweat it out, but they just kind of expect you to move out the way for them all the time. And it's just like you need to run around people. But there are certain neighborhoods in D.C. There's this neighborhood called, in Northwest at least, called Columbia Heights. And to me, Columbia Heights is like, I don't know, man. It's like the hood with like a fake mustache. And it's just, it's very overcrowded because it's kind of like, I don't know, picture what like Crown Heights was like when it was like gentrifying.
Like when you first moved there back in the day.
So like think of it like 2 years afterwards.
All right.
2 or 3 years after, because it's like here in Columbia Heights, that's not where I live, but there's like a Target and supermarkets and kind of a mini shopping mall. And it's just a lot of people. So I've met a few friends there for like social distancing, like events or whatever, exercises at the parks when the parks were open, but I never felt comfortable because people were just really in the streets, man. Black Israelites preaching, like it's just packed all the time. So I kind of try to stay clear of that area. It's good to hear that old people, at least in Brooklyn, are kind of staying inside. But I think from what I've seen, Queens is been hit the hardest, and then it's Brooklyn. But I guess it's just more people in those areas, so the numbers, I have no idea. Cool, man. So like, you know, I know we've been talking a lot about like ways we've been distracting ourselves during the pandemic, and it's maybe made a habit that we both have harder to resist. And what I mean is by just shopping, in particular for sneakers, but I think shopping in general. So, you know, to save face for the both of us, if you could, like, what are like the three things you've bought where you're like, all right, I admit that I'm buying this and I don't need it, but I'm going to do it. And what are things you've been eyeing?
All right. I've been looking at Mad Sweats. Like I bought a sweatsuit from Nike for Easter. That was like, I mean, I bought Uniqlo because I love the Uniqlo sweatpants.
I think
the best sweatpants ever created, the joggers they have.
My friend in my boy in DC told me about that. He said the joggers at Uniqlo are
they're phenomenal. They look top good notch. At anything. Good four colors. They fit well. So I definitely would be, if I could be sponsored by Uniqlo, I definitely would represent that brand pretty well. And just buying shit on Amazon. Like I bought like glasses to block blue light. Buying like the Iron Man mug for no reason.
Yeah, it's hot. I see it, man. It's hot though.
It's just like random shit on Amazon. Like my fiance gets mad because the bell rings and she's like, what'd you order now? So just random stuff. But I've been on Nike.com like every other day, just looking at the sales, hoping kicks that I want, the prices.
Those assholes, man. There's so many sales. Nike and Adidas, man. They've been like, hey.
Well, you're more team Adidas and I'm more team Nike. So it's just like, I haven't been on the Adidas website yet.
Yeah.
But on the Nike website, I'm looking every single day. They're even tempting me with emails saying, oh, you're a exclusive member. So you get 40% off these kicks. But they're all like the trashy kicks, like cleats and stuff, which I don't need.
Yeah, the Cristiano Ronaldo cleats.
Yeah, I want like 40% off the real stuff. Like I want like the Jordan ones that are sitting there that no one's buying. Yeah. 40% off those stuff. Or like the running, the Air Maxes. That's what I want 40% off.
Mm-hmm. I feel you, man. I feel you. It's tough. It's tough though when the sales, it's always a trap. For me, I've been also copping some sweats, man. You know, it's crazy. You know, you spend a decent amount of money on like Nike sweats or like, I got a pair of Nike. They're not sweats, but like these dry fit pants and they're okay. And then I got these Old Navy joggers that I don't want to take off.
They're good?
Yeah, man, they're really good. But it's just like a lesson. Huh?
I love a good jogger. So
a good jogger. I'm probably going to check this Uniqlo because now loungewear, it's what it is. Yo, it's just like
lit.
It's lit. It's, yeah. Lit. It's lit. But for me, I would say like I bought. So I won't count these sneakers as buying it during the Rona. I bought them when I was traveling and then they came later because of the Rona. But I got these white and red blazers, these high top blazers, man, that. Man, they're so clean, but, you know, I'm just wearing them around the crib, to be quite honest, because there's, you know, I kind of have, like, my designated go-out sneakers, my Stan Smiths that I got in Kenya at a market. But, you know, those are the sneakers by the door that I spray down. So it's almost like these other sneakers are just kind of like my kids. And then I got a pair of black NMDs, and that shoe is something I didn't need to get, but my reasoning was that, well, it was on sale and then it matches with an Adidas tracksuit that I have because I felt like I didn't have the sneakers to go with it. So those are the two purchases that I feel like I could have went without, but I'm still looking at, I want a pair of all white Air Maxes. I know you and I have talked about, like, you're not a really big fan of the all whites, but I think an all white pair of Air Maxes would just look good this summer with shorts and whatever.
Which year are you talking about, the Air Max ones or the Air Max 97s? Or
I've been looking at a whole bunch of them. So the Air Max 97s, I don't feel they're that comfortable because I have a pair of black and red ones. Mm-hmm. And they're cool, but they just – and that's my issue with Nike. Like, I think Nikes are always going to be when I say better than Adidas, just more popular than Adidas because they keep making new shoes. And then you could always dip back like, oh, back in the day, my mom wasn't going to get me the Air Max 98s that were $150. But now I could get that if I want to. So that's where Nike gets you. Like, you were talking about the Cortezes the other day, and it's just like, that's a classic shoe. You know what I mean? Like, Adidas, they have some classic shoes, like obviously the Shell Toes. And now they're trying to push the new Oswegos, which I think are dope. But like the newer Adidas stuff is not as like, they don't have as many as Nike does. But for me with Adidas, the Adidas sneakers, for me, it's a good crossover shoe. So like when I travel, I could bring one pair of kicks that I could work out in and I could chill in. I feel like with Nike, for me, it's hard to find that.
Yeah. What's your grail in terms of sneakers? Like, is there something that you want to get that you haven't got yet that you hope goes on sale?
Yeah. I mean, you know, these Air Max. So the Air Maxes I'm talking about, I don't know which ones yet. I think it's whatever's on sale, but as long as they're all white. The 270s, I think they're a little too bulky on my foot. I tried them on at, was it Foot Locker? So I like the 98s a little bit because I feel like it's an Air Max that not everybody has and people kind of sleep on. I actually had a pair of Air Max 98s when I was in high school, and I got them because another pair of Air Max I had, the bubble popped, and I returned it to Nike, and they gave me a pair of Air Max 98s. So that's a secret. I don't know if people still do that with Nike. But I just want something like a crisp pair of Air Max 1s. But like, I guess the grail, I just can't. The Jordans are out of reach for me at this point. Like, can I technically afford a pair of $300 sneakers? Sure. But I can't do that to myself. Like, I can't do that, man. Like, it's just like, I wouldn't be able to wear them anywhere without feeling like I can't walk on the street with them. I'd have to like be driving. Like, there's so many Jordans that I want, but it's just like, yo, do I spend $250 on a pair of sneakers? And it's just like, I'm not there yet. You know, I'd rather, but it's just like, what's the point if I'm buying like two pairs of sneakers in a month, it kind of totals close to it. So,
yeah, I agree with you on that one because I am a fan of Jordan sneakers. I got a few of kicks myself. Mm-hmm. And my logic is like, you could spend that much money on the Jordans, but you're always paranoid to wear them out.
Yeah.
The kicks you buy are dope. And if you like, let's say, dirty the Blazers, you could go out and get another pair without worrying about it.
Exactly.
Let's say I wear the Jordan 11s, the Concords out, and I spill like someone spilled wine on them.
Which fuck that, man.
That actually happened to me once. I wore like the Olympic 11s out.
Oh.
And this girl spilled wine on them, and now they're ruined, so I can't wear them anymore.
They're ruined. She ruined them.
She ruined them. I tried to bleach them. I bought like mad cleaners, and they're ruined. I actually just wore them to the gym and then donated them because so that's a fear if you go out and wear Jordans that you are taking a risk. But yeah, like,
I agree.
Cortezes, you know, if you dirty them, it's like, okay, yeah. Sorry, I could go back and get them on the website or app.
Yeah. If I were to get 11s, I would get the black and red ones for fear. I mean, those are my favorite 11s, but just for fear of, you know, if you wear the Space Jam ones, where can you go? You can't go to no park. You can't go to like no outside festival.
Yeah.
Like, you literally have to you're driving from point A to point B. You're not exposing them.
If you know your VIP, then you're good to wear them.
Right.
If you're going to be in the booth and you know no one's going to be in your vicinity.
Right.
And it's good to wear those. But if you're going to be out and about, you can't trust people.
Absolutely not. And that's why for me, like, those are kind of the sneakers I get are sneakers that I'll rock. And I still try to keep them as clean as possible. But I can't. If I got a pair of 11s and they got scuffed up, I'd be pretty pissed off. But Nike and Adidas, they just keep you're 30% off, 40% off. And it's just like, all right, guys, I know what you guys are doing. And I'm sure we're not the only ones having these conversations about what they want to cop. But it's just like in reality, I don't know, this summer might be a wrap. So there's no real reason. But loungewear, you know.
I think there's a reason. You want to be fly at home. You know, like it's so good to feel good at home. Like put those sneakers absolutely on, feel fly at home. Look in the mirror and be like, yo, I can't wait to rock these. So
can't wait to rock these.
And they can be your slippers. If you're not wearing them outside, you could, you know, there's no Rona on the sneakers. You could just wear them in the house and you're good.
Wear them in the crib. Yeah, you can wear them all over the crib because everything, the system for me is just like the shoes and the jacket that I wear out. Just there's a designated area. They smell like Lysol right now.
They go off like says, do not enter. Do not.
Yeah. Off. Do not enter. Do not touch. Yeah. But I think though, if I find these, the right Air Max, so it needs to be all white. Because I feel like I feel like my style and clothes, I think it's changing, or maybe I'm getting tired of what I wear, even though, you know, it wasn't bad or anything, but I'm like taking chances on like flashier colors, like teal. And I feel like all white sneakers are the way to go. All white or all black. It's kind of like a safe bet. And because you can't do all black.
Nah, it reminds me of like my mom forcing me to wear black sneakers to church and stuff. So like if I see all black sneakers, I can't do it, man.
Traumatized.
Yeah, traumatized.
You wouldn't do like an all black Air Force One.
Oh no, those, especially New York City. Nah, you can't do those.
Those were a staple, man. Those were a staple. I never had the all black. I had all whites, but they still were a staple.
If you wear them now, they think you're gonna rob a bodega.
I know.
So you got definitely not the all black Air Force Ones.
There was this video of a girl. It seemed a woman. She seemed to be a mistress of some sort, and the guy's trying to make her leave. And she's climbing out a window, and she drops, and it's like a drop. And then one of the comments was, it was like, you knew she was about that life when you saw the all black Air Force Ones. but yeah, man, you know, so like, keep me posted on anything you cop. Cause I feel like we're a bad influence, but we're an enabler for each other. Yeah. We're like, which I'm cool with, you know, I'm listen, trying to make,
if I wasn't engaged, I would have Nike coming in and out my door every single day.
Well, yeah.
He's the one who's like, all right, you can't be doing this. We have a wedding. If it doesn't happen or not, you can't have Nike coming in and out your door all the time. So,
well, shout out to her. Shout out to P for, you know, shout out for keeping you, you know, grounded.
Yeah.
So with that said, man, I know I complimented you on your very lovely Toronto Raptors jersey. So I know two Toronto Raptors fans, but the other one I know is from Toronto. So you and I, a point of contention growing up is that you became you never were a Knicks fan, which was upsetting, but during the expansion, so I think the NBA expansion happened in 97?
96. Oh, sorry, 95.
So that's when the Toronto Raptors and the Vancouver Grizzlies were added to the NBA.
Big country.
Yeah, big country, Bryant Reeves. But you quickly took to the Toronto Raptors. I remember your Damon Stoudemire jersey.
Still in my closet.
Still in your closet. Wow. Yeah, wow. Well, I got my Chris Webber jersey from the eighth grade as well.
The Bullets one, right?
The Bullets one. I get a lot of love for that when I wear it here, man.
You have to.
I get a lot of love.
Classic.
Yeah. I do wish it was the number four Weber. It's just, it's the number two, but whatever. It's all good. But, you know, you've been really a lifelong fan of the Toronto Raptors. You're by way of New York. If your bachelor party is still slated for June, that's where the bachelor party destination will be, is the T-Dot. So, you know, you've always been a fan. You've always been victim to LeBron James, LeBronto, as it used to be called. Yeah, 3 years straight, really. But before that, you had Insanity, you had T-Mac. Wish that those two played together. I think they probably could have maybe not won a title. I don't know. Who knows, man? They could have won a title. They could have went really far. But, you know, and I'm pretty sure both of them regret not playing with each other, specifically T-Mac. I think T-Mac now knows that it's not all about averaging 29 points a game, even though he was a phenomenal basketball player. But last year, man, made a trade. You were pissed at first. They got rid of DeMar.
I'm a loyalist. So, like, I feel like he was the only all-star player we had that wanted to stay. So when they traded him, I was like, all right. Because I knew Kawhi was not going to stay at first. And I actually thought he would stay after winning a chip. But regardless, like, when DeMar was traded, I felt like that was just like a stab in my back. Like, we lost the only all-star player that wanted to stay up with the Raptors. Because everyone signs with them or gets traded to them, and then they bounce.
Right. Yeah. It's you were pissed. I think most non-Raptor fans felt that that was probably the move to make.
Like you?
Yeah. And I remember, so that summer before the season, I saw Kyle Lowry at the hotel where my friends and I were staying for my boy's bachelor party. I forgot the name of the hotel.
In Vegas or Miami?
Miami. Mm. And I remember texting you, telling you that I thought he looked out of shape. But joke's on me. The Raptors had a fantastic season, and they did a lot of that without Kawhi. I think Kawhi missed maybe 30% of the season. Mm-hmm. But there was a new air of confidence. You have another superstar grew out of Pascal Siakam. And I think Kyle Lowry got really the respect he deserves, man. That guy is a fan. I think he's the best Raptors player. I mean, not obviously not skill-wise, but in terms of like longevity and what he means to the franchise. To me, again, and this is out of from a non-Raptors fan, I think Kyle Lowry is super important. I thought but before we talk about like the season, I felt like in this year's All-Star game, he was one of the last players out there. He was taking key charges. He was doing what he does. And he's a player like in crunch time, I feel comfortable with the ball in his hands. You wouldn't have said that before last year, I think.
No, definitely not.
But now
and against Golden State, when he was just making those shots,
yeah,
he had a heart attack every time that ball left his hand. Because a year before that, it was just been a brick after brick.
Brick after brick, man. But Kyle Lowry's a big point guard. He reminds you a lot of a kind of a Chauncey Billups-esque type player. Probably a bit more, even better defensively. I mean, Chauncey was really good defensively, but I think because Kyle draws so many fouls. Anyway, so last year, you know, we saw the Raptors kind of take it all. And as of now, they're still the defending champions. And if the season were to end and there'd be no season,
2 years,
you guys, 2 years back to back, yeah. Technically. But with that said, I mean, where did you predict the finish for the Raptors to be this year? Let's say the season was non-interrupted. They were currently a 2 seed, I think, surprising a lot of people. I already told you what I felt, but I want to know what you felt. What was the ceiling this year?
Well, I think the way we matched up, we would have matched up with the Nets. And the fact that KD and Kyrie are injured, we would have like ran through them, no problem.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what the seeding would be after that. But I think if it was Philly or Boston might have been tough because they were on a streak at the end of the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. Tatum had been playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
Philly was just a crippled person trying to make it through the finish line in a marathon.
Hot mess
the whole season. But now Embiid was out. Didn't Simmons get injured?
He's back. I think Simmons' injury was deemed worse than Embiid's injury.
Okay. And then who are they depending on? They're Tobias Harris. So I think we could beat Philly no problem, unlike the year before. So it probably would have been Milwaukee and Toronto again. And I think we could beat Milwaukee. I think we have the recipe to beat Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have been a 7-game like slaughter. I mean, I think it would have been a 7-game battle, but I think we would have beat Milwaukee to be in the finals. Because I just think we were playing so well, and we have certain players who step up randomly. It's not like Kyle Lowry's our consistent player, or Siakam's our consistent player. We had like Van Vliet step up. We'll have like some player from some Division III college.
Yeah.
Guy knows about.
What was that? What was that one guy's name? No.
Malcolm.
I think this guy was on Charlotte. But no, I tend to agree with you, man. And I'm saying this now, so maybe like people who are listening could be like, what? He's just kind of, you know, smoking that Raptors green. But I feel the same way. I think the way this team played, they kind of played with like the monkeys off their back and they feared nobody. I think that, you know, it would have been them or Milwaukee. And I actually think that the East has become a lot more balanced. So I think Boston was playing well, but Kemba's hurt. Kemba couldn't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. I really liked Miami, but I feel like
Miami is a problem though, because Jimmy Butler reminds me of that player who just does not quit at all. Like he just does not give up. Like he just does something at the end of every game that he just refuses to lose. So
I agree, and he's empowering those young guys, those shooters, Euro and Robinson.
Yeah,
I think Bam is incredible, but I felt like they were one player away. But who knows? I think the East would have been a battle. Even though Milwaukee was kind of running away with the conference, there's something about them. Like you take Giannis off that team, and it's just like, what are you guys? And I think the Lakers kind of showed a recipe of how to beat Giannis. Not just the Raptors. I mean, the Raptors do know how to defend him, but they would have lost. You know, obviously Kawhi Leonard, but the Lakers, the way they played them, basically just attacking him. But you have to have two superstar players like LeBron and AD to continue to attack him. Mm-hmm. I think Giannis was still in a position to have to like prove something to people, that prove that he can get over the hump by himself. LeBron did it when he was younger, even though he got swept by the Spurs in, was it 08 or 06? I can't remember when it was. But I tend to agree. I think the Raptors would have represented the East, and I'm going to say it would have been the Clippers in the West. I think so. I think they had too many bodies to throw at LeBron.
Yeah.
Is amazing he was this season. I think Kawhi, Paul George.
AD was this season too. So
that's my thing. The Lakers would be able to beat the Clippers if AD play out of his mind. And he was playing well, but like really where he would have to carry the team.
Yeah.
Because it seems that the Clippers didn't really have an answer for him. But not that they had an answer for LeBron. I mean, Kawhi is pretty much an equalizer, but Kawhi, Paul George, Marcus Morris, who else did they have?
Patrick Beverly.
Beverly. Like,
just people. Jackson. Like, just.
Yeah. Just weapons. Yeah. Weapons. And then I think the Clippers would have. This is my opinion. I think the Clippers would have won, but it would have been close. That Western Conference Finals would have been close. But I think
in the battle in LA.
Yeah, I think the Clippers are the better team. Even though the Lakers win was more impressive, because it seems that their team was coming into form. But like watching the Clippers play, and I think it's watching any team with Kawhi Leonard. They're always in the game. Like you know, there's a way. I mean, you know this best. Like Kawhi slows the game down. He gets to a spot and he's unstoppable. Like he gets to that kind of that right side. No one could stop him from getting into his space. And then he gets into the mid range and just kind of money.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the way they defend is like, they're like pit bulls. They're like piranhas. I mean, you would have to really go toe to toe with them. And I saw Boston do that a few times with them, those were really fun games to watch, but I don't know. I think I'm last year, you know, Kawhi kind of solidified himself as a top three player.
What I saw him do last year during those playoffs was unbelievable. I'm not even talking about the shot. I'm talking about like what he did single-handedly against like the Sixers, who should have won that series in my mind.
Yeah.
They should have won in game, like six games. He just did some shit that I've never seen a player do since Jordan.
He carried that team because that team locked
on one
up.
Leg. Like, on one fucking leg.
One leg. And you saw, what was it? I forgot what game it was. Was it game six? It was game six. You saw the Raptors lock up. Like whenever they got the ball, they just give him the, they would just give the ball to Kawhi and just let him clear out. And like, there was no sets. It was just like Kawhi top of the key. And he kind of would get whatever he wanted to get. Who do you think, as of now, even though the season's over and KD's out, if you had to, who would you say are the top three players in the NBA?
I'm not a LeBron fan, but I had to say LeBron. I mean, the way he was dishing the ball out and scoring.
Yeah.
LeBron's definitely a player that should be on that list. I don't care about load management. I would say Kawhi.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's someone from the East some love. So Giannis.
Giannis. Yeah. So you're talking about this year, but overall, like, yeah, you're right. I think for this year, I agree with you. Those are the top three, but I think overall, if KD were healthy, as much as I don't love KD, I'm a fan of KD's fan. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of KD's game, but KD, the personality sometimes, I don't know, man. I don't understand.
I mean, that's another podcast down the line. His personality, because
absolutely.
The thing is, I think he's a good guy. Like, he shows up on like the most random podcasts. Like, he'll do something with like the Knuckleheads.
Yeah.
Or like he did the 2K tournament. So like, I think it's cool he does stuff like that. But like, just the Twitter, what's it called when you have a fake name and stuff?
The burner account, the
burner accounts and stuff like that. To me, I get why people don't like KD.
He's an interesting dude, man. But his game, like, I got nothing bad to say about game, man.
I was almost crying when he came out game four when he just totally dominated everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was out there and you saw the difference.
It was crazy.
I think he's unguardable. Offensively, he's unguardable. But yeah. But so who do you think? Let's get into some awards real quickly. If the season were to end today, which it looks like it might, who's your MVP?
My MVP? Giannis.
Giannis, yeah. I mean,
they have the best record. He is pretty much carrying a whole team on his back. Like, he has a good support system, but it's definitely Giannis because he's unstoppable.
Yeah. I think you could stop him. I think if you give him, like, open court.
Yeah,
exactly. But if you give him the open court and he's running full speed, I think he's unstoppable. But I think if you kind of build the wall the way the Raptors did, or, you know, you force him to kind of beat you with a post game versus kind of like with the full head of speed, you could slow him down.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I think it's Giannis. I think if the season continued the way it was, LeBron would have gave him a run for his money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. There were ahead of everybody record wise in the league. And like they were blowing the backs out of some of these teams. He did it to the Knicks, which is really awful to watch, but I agree with you with Giannis. How about coach of the year? I already know who you're going to say.
Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse. Come on. He had an injured squad and he managed to get them in second place without their MVP caliber player. So
yeah.
Nick Nurse is my candidate all day.
No, it's him. I couldn't agree with you more, man. We haven't disagreed yet. It's that team has no business being as good as it. They're so good that I thought that they would be able to kind of make it to the finals. What about I want to ask for one more award, then I want to ask your opinion on something. What about Defensive Player of the Year?
DYOP.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that one. I would have to let me hear your opinion. Let me see if I agree or not.
Yeah, I'll give it to Giannis. I was considering Rudy Gobert, but I think he's the
shut down the whole league. So then that's definitely Rudy.
He shut down the whole league. So he,
I hate the name so is Rudy. His name is Rudy. Like that.
was like you were thinking of copping his jersey too.
Yeah, right before this shit happened.
Yeah. Rudy fucked it up. I heard Mitchell. You told me you're the one who told me Mitchell doesn't want to play with them anymore. But
yeah.
You know what? I would trade for him. If I'm the Knicks, I'd trade for his ass. Get him in some shooters or get him like a scoring guard.
Well, apparently, you're going to get Van Vliet. So
I'll take Van Vliet too, man.
So it's going to be.
I'll take Van Vliet.
I would too.
But Van Vliet's not really a point guard, though. What kind of guard? What would you call him, a point guard or kind of just like a.
I would call him like a Lowry 2.0. I think he has that intensity, that bulldogness that Lowry has.
Yeah.
I think any team could use him and he could be a star.
I would sign him. I would sign him, trade for Gobert. Him, Gobert, RJ Barrett, whatever pick we get. Because I wouldn't trade. I mean, Gobert's not going to cost us our first round pick. I mean, like our top pick. And if he does, then I wouldn't do that. But I would give him Mitchell Robinson. But anyway, yeah, Giannis to me is the Defensive Player of the Year. I think that guy is a scary, scary guy to go up against. He's he's like a skinny Shaq. Well, Shaq didn't play defense, but it's like, it's almost like Shaq, Kevin Garnett. I don't know. Wildebeest. And he can guard anybody. He can guard 1 through 5 or maybe like 2 through 5. But for me, it's Giannis.
Yeah. I see that too. I mean, he is unstoppable this year.
Yeah.
I would even like, I haven't really seen Kawhi play too much because their games are on too late.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't, I would probably say my go-to is always Kawhi.
Right.
But I haven't seen him play too much. So I personally, I can't say that, but I think based on what I've seen from Giannis, again, he's the best all-around player in the league, except for shooting.
Yeah.
Overall.
Except for shooting.
Yeah.
He's going to get better though. How would you, I mean, so how do you feel about the NBA trying to kind of, it sounds like they're trying to do everything they can to start up again? Like, how do you feel about that? Like, you know, some of the suggestions they put out, like, hey, maybe we'll like rent out and do some arena in Vegas and just do like a playoff. Like, what are your thoughts? I mean, obviously, I know you'd watch, I'd watch, but what are your thoughts on the NBA really trying to push the envelope with the season?
I think that's to happen. It's going to be crazy because everyone's been resting. It could be two things, that either everyone was resting and not practicing or working out, and it could be like a clusterfuck. Or it could be like everyone was working out, training on their personal courts, and everyone's in shape. The injuries are like, you know, not happening no more. And it's crazy. So I think that is the two possibilities that could happen if the NBA was to happen when they say it's going to happen.
I think they're thinking end of May or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but you couldn't do like your traditional like 1 through 8 seating on each side. You have to do something a little bit different, I'm sure. Like some sort of, you have to do some sort of like tournament. It couldn't be, I think it's too late to do like 8 teams from each conference. I think you'd have to do like top 10 teams or something like that.
I would say top 4 teams, like just let people follow the rules of social distancing. Don't let them force themselves. Also, like I would say the top 8 teams, I think the East was locked. Like the top 8 teams in the East were who they were.
Yeah.
I think it was like the number 1 Milwaukee to the Magic. And I feel like no other team could have – I think that was the established like teams. The West was kind of like very close.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, well, you had like the teams from like – who was it? Like Memphis was number 8. Spurs were close. New Orleans was catching up. So it depends on, I would do 2 tournaments. Like I don't know. I would do like 2 tournaments on who could catch up and be in the top 8 and just have like a NCAA type tournament in the private island they're going to rent or whatever.
So like a one game, not like a playoff series.
Yeah.
That would be pretty hot, man. I think I would like the NCAA format as well. But, you know, I feel like people would put an asterisk to this season. I mean, regardless, they're going to put it no matter what they do. But people will say, you know, I mean, I guess the 1-game elimination is, you know, it's kind of balls to the walls.
Listen, you put an asterisk if it's like the Nets win the whole thing, then yeah, put an asterisk. But if like the teams that were supposed to win, then it is what it is.
But I think a team like the Raptors, and again, I know it's not just because you're on the pod that I'm bigging up the Raptors, but it seemed like the Raptors who have that continuity, who've played together for a little bit, would have an advantage over people.
Yeah.
Like the Raptors, the Nuggets, you know, I mean, obviously you pick the Lakers and the Clippers because of the type of caliber players they have, but like I'm thinking of teams that have played together for a minute. That would have kind of an advantage. So I'm thinking like Raptors, Nuggets, who else?
They play together except for like...
Yeah, the Bucks.
Malcolm Brogdon. They pretty much
hold on. The Bucks for sure.
Yeah.
The Bucks for sure.
Wait, sorry, what was your question again?
No, I mean, it wasn't a question. It was just kind of like following up on what you said. I think the NCAA tournament probably would be, for me, and with the time we have, would be the ideal way to do it, where it's just kind of, you know, 1 versus 16 or whatever, how you do it. There'd be more room for upsets also, would make things pretty interesting. But one last thing I wanted to talk to you about. So for NBA, so wait, your NBA champion would be, if there is some sort of playoff, who do you see winning it all this year?
If the Clippers, if let's say they have all the rest that they got from this pandemic, they go on that private island they're talking about, or Vegas, then it had to be the Clippers because they just have a stacked roster. I mean, their eighth man,
so stacked.
Their eighth man could be like a starter, all-star on any other team, like Montrezl Harrell.
Trez, I love Montrezl.
Yeah, he could be a all-star on any team in the East. So I would definitely say the Clippers would get it. And especially what I've been hearing about Kawhi online, about like how he's just been practicing and healing. He's like Goku now from Dragon Ball Z. So I would say that the Clippers. It will hurt me to see Kawhi kill my team because I'll be like,
right.
Because you heard in August, like before, I mean, not August, when the Kawhi made that whole scheme to get Paul George, that we had a chance to get Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and Kawhi on the same team. But Masai didn't want to pull the trigger. So it would hurt me to see. You didn't hear this rumor?
No. Who would he trade to get Paul George and West? I'm sure Siakam for sure.
I mean, I think we would have lost like the whole bag. We would have lost VanVleet. We would have lost probably Lowry. We would have lost a lot of players. And that's why Masai didn't want to do it, because he knew that if he did that, they'll be over the luxury tax. But it will hurt me to see Kawhi do the same thing that we did to other teams to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, he would do it. I think he would do it with pleasure. Low key, I think LeBron James got the coronavirus, man.
Why do you say that?
Because, you know, they said someone from the Lakers got it when it came out, and they didn't say the name of the player. Like when KD got it, they told you KD. Yeah. When, you know, what other, when other players got, like Marcus Smart, they've told us players the names, like Marcus Smart, Kevin Durant, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, that dude on the Pistons. And when it came to the Lakers, they were like, someone on the Lakers is the problem.
You might be right then. I didn't think about that.
I'm just like, huh, because it wasn't like Kyle Kuzma. It wasn't like Jared Dudley. And then, or maybe it was Anthony Davis. I haven't heard it, but I definitely think it was one of those dudes. Definitely got, I don't know. That's my opinion. I think
MVP caliber player.
Yeah, exactly. All-star MVP caliber player. But yeah, I agree with you. I think the Clippers would take the chip. I don't think it'd be easy. The Lakers are playing really well, but I just think that team is stacked and they got bodies for LeBron. And the Lakers didn't address getting another point guard.
They need one, 100%.
Because I think Rondo's, it's kind of cooked at this point. And I'm a Rondo fan, but
a legend in my eyes. I love Rondo.
Agreed. But this year he didn't look like Rondo. I mean, you look old.
Yeah.
Last question for you, man, before I let you go.
Mm-hmm.
Music. So I've been listening to a lot more music than podcasts lately. Usually I'm like podcast heavy. But any new music, or maybe you've been going back to like old classics that have kind of gotten you through this time?
I've been listening to old music like usual, but I've been getting to like this Brooklyn drill music. Like Pop Smoke,
okay.
Smooth L, the Pop Boys. Like, I don't know how I got into it, but like I was on YouTube once. And they're like, "Oh, listen to this song," and I did, and it just bumped. So I started listening to that music, not all the time because it's repetitive. The beat is the same, but it's just
right.
Energy is like raw, which I like a lot. I think I'm too old to be listening to that music, but I still think it's
whatever, dude.
Bumping.
No, that's cool, man.
And also, the beat mix that you have is pretty dope. And
oh yeah, you on you follow the list?
Yeah, I listen to my workouts.
Oh snap! All right, well I'm honored. I'm honored.
Actually, you put me on so.
Yeah, man, Afrobeats. I love Afrobeats, man, and I got more into it living in Kenya for sure. So a little Pop Smoke, what you've been doing, and kind of some of the classics.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of new music, it's probably been Brooklyn Drill.
Yeah.
And, like, even new reggaeton is pretty, like, good.
Okay.
Which are, like, dance like music.
Bad Bunny?
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, it's the one I could think of right now.
Yeah. A lot of people, a lot of women love them some Bad Bunny. I haven't heard any of his stuff yet. I should probably give it a try. Now's a better time than any. No.
Okay, I'll send to you on the WhatsApp. But
yeah, please.
But yeah, pretty much the Afrobeat music has been popping. You know, summertime coming soon. So I know like the Baby came out with a new album today.
Yeah, I saw Instagram posted the album cover.
And I was practicing the Tootsie Slide for my wedding. Hopefully we all do it in July. We'll know if it's going to happen or not. But like, just practice your steps at home since you have the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I'm a big Drake music fan, and sometimes I'm a fan of him, but then sometimes I'm not, man. I was talking to someone about it. His music, look, Drake, the hits, he's a hit maker.
Yeah.
You know, I listen to at least one song of Drake every day to, like, get me hyped up for something. I'll admit that. Yeah, cry, hype, whatever you want.
Yeah, not emo.
Some of his actions, some of his movements in the past, like, 6 weeks, I'm just, like, questioning, like the whole, just all of a sudden posting pictures of his son. Like, I'm glad that he's finding a connection, but it's just like it felt very drive-by dad like. And then his crib, I'm not a fan, man.
You think it's too much in the background, too many random paintings? And
I think it's too much. Like Jay-Z's house, the little we've seen of it, you could tell it's a dope house.
He posted pictures of it. I haven't even known.
I've maybe seen like, maybe there's been like 2%, and the 2% I've seen, I like more than 100%. Basquiat's $3 million portraits on the wall. But yeah, I mean, that's my take on Drake, man. I mean, the more music, the better. You know, as an artist, I'm a fan, even though I think this Tootsie Slide is a little gimmicky. But you know, I'm sure if you play enough with the volume up or play it at the club when we're back at the club, I'm going to be doing the Tootsie Slide.
Well, hopefully we can go to the club soon and not.
Hopefully. Hopefully. We'll see. What are your thoughts on these battles? So like the Envy, not DJ Envy, the DJ Premier versus RZA and who else? It was Manny Fresh, Scott Storch. I didn't catch a Teddy. I didn't catch. Oh, what happened with the Timberland one?
Swiss Beats and Timberland were the first one.
I haven't touched that one yet.
Yeah, I didn't. I was off social media during that time, so
That's right.
I think the RZA. I started RZA, DJ Premier, the Scott Storch, and Manny Fresh one.
Yeah,
and I think it's dope. Like we get to like hear songs that we haven't heard in a while, or like realize how great these people are.
Yeah,
like I heard the T-Pain and Lil Jon one a few days ago. And, like, to me, they got a little corny and boring. But when they battle each other and they play their hits, it's like, damn, they came out with bangers. Like, they're so
bangers.
Like classics.
Bangers.
Yeah, like you think Lil Jon's like that club DJ?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, he has hits on hits, man. Like, any genre, any style of music, he has a song for it. So, I mean, I think these are good to just let the young people know that these guys are not just, like, reality stars on their apprentice are like, they're not forgotten. So I think these battles are dope. And I think this weekend is supposed to be Babyface and Teddy Riley.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be,
I want to see that. I think it's going to be a lot of baby making, man. Grinding and baby making.
A lot of Corona babies.
A lot of Corona babies. Corona with the K. but I felt like the, DJ Premier versus RZA one was good, but I wish RZA had better sound quality. He was playing, for a while I thought Premier was leading, but then RZA towards the end, he really started just dropping gems. But again, the sound quality was bad. There was like a meme someone had, they showed a picture of this, the speakers RZA had, and it was like Altec speakers, like Altec computer speakers. But, I love both of them, man. Like I forgot how many hits DJ Premier had. So many hits. And I also like the mutual respect that they have for each other. Like they gave like kind of backstories of how they each kind of helped each other out, which I kind of like, man. I always see when black people are loving each other. Right. But I'm all for it. But I'm kind of interested in seeing some rap battles, man, where people are actually battling each other.
I don't think anyone's going to do that. They don't want to put their like pride on the line.
Yeah.
Like, I think that'd be dope too, to see like some people who are known for battling, like maybe Eminem battle, I don't know, whoever.
Yeah.
Like have some random freestyles, but I don't think no one's ever going to put themselves out that way.
Yeah.
This is why you don't see rappers actually battling each other, because I don't think they want to have their pride hurt and hurt by.
They want to get roasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's all like producers and DJs who've been going at it.
Yeah. I'm really happy that they're doing this for people. I think it's great. I hope it stays free. I hope it continues to stay free.
Yeah.
Cause they could charge if they want. And I think, I know I'd pay if I'm going to see like RZA versus DJ Premier or Teddy Riley against Babyface, I'd pay $9.99 for that, man, for 3 hours.
Is there a dream battle that you want to see if prior to this pandemic ending, hopefully? Like someone you want to see go at each other, producers or like DJs or whatever?
You know, it's hard to think of it. It's when people like present it, you're like, of course that'd be dope. I think Swizz Beatz Timberland's going to be hot fire. Shout out to Alicia Keys. I love you. but, you know, both of them had so many hits. Like Swizz Beatz carried Rough Riders.
Yeah.
Although he put all those guys on. All his beats put them all on. I mean, Timberland, the names. I used to be a huge like Timberland Missy fan in like high school. Yeah.
I remember you bought that Missy album when it first came out. So
yeah, the Missy album, the Timberland and Magoo album. What happened to Magoo? Maganoo?
I think he's probably a first responder now.
Exactly.
We love you, Magoo.
But yeah. Shout out to him. I used to like him, but he disappeared. But you know, Aaliyah, Genuine, that's all Timberland. Justin Timberlake. You're welcome, Justin Timberlake. Playa, Nelly Furtado.
Word.
But shout out also Thundercat, man. That guy, I've been listening to a lot of Thundercat. Didn't know who he was until Issa Rae posted something of her listening to Durag. And I was like, what's this? And I just...
You mean Dragon Ball Durag?
Yep. But I've been listening to a lot of Thundercat. And he's our age, which is even doper.
I didn't know that. He looks pretty old because he has like the
all types hair. Of shit going yeah. on. Yeah. But yo, man, thank you very much, man. This was fun.
Yeah.
Do another one.
I'm down. In. Let me know. I have nowhere to go, so I'll be
here. Yeah, me neither. Neither, but we're going to see how everything unfolds, man. Hope you continue to stay safe.
You too, man.
And we'll be in touch, man.
Hopefully I see you at my wedding, as my best man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, man. And I'm looking forward to that as well. I think I'm trying to take things week by week to see if shit can still go down.
Yeah.
And I also hope we can go to Toronto, man.
That'd be great if we can. If not,
that'd be great.
If we could just see each other in Atlantic City or New York, wherever.
Yeah, shit, I'll go to the casino with the mask on. Fuck that, I'll do it.
You have a dope mask. So I appreciate that mask you got. It's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's Haitian, AfroIET.com. Yeah.
I bought a mask from Fanatics.com.
Well, yeah, what kind
it
of
just,
mask?
It just came out of an email saying, oh, we got these masks now. So I bought a Raptors mask. So.
Oh, really?
You'll be rocking down the streets pretty soon.
My friend Caroline, she's making masks too. I wish I could remember her. I think it's Caroline Makes Masks on Instagram. But they're pretty dope too. I think I'm definitely going to cop one to show the love. But yeah, man, stay safe and let's do this again soon.
All right, man, be good.
Peace.